a last gasp for the, quote, Patriot way, unquote. Let's explore. This is the Todd Wright Toddcast presented by Brandon Legal Group and Pin Chasers. First on Pin Chasers. Follow them on Instagram. You will be notified by following them of their almost daily specials, which they often do on bowling, food, beverage, often all at the same time, depending on what's going on, what day of the week it is. It could be an unlimited bowling special with low prices on food and or beverage. The beverage could be alcoholic. The beverage could be non-alcoholic. It could be both. It's a very active Instagram account from the Peroni family and their marketing department for their four locations across Tampa, bowling, food, and fun. I appreciate their longstanding support of what I do, both here on the podcast and giving away free bowling and bowling parties at my golf tournaments. To book a lane or to plan a party, go to pinchasers.net. Remember, Pin Chasers will never charge you to rent bowling shoes. That's a financial advantage over so many other places that offer bowling. That's money that stays in your pocket. And that's from the Peroni family not charging you to rent shoes. Pin Chasers, four locations throughout Tampa. Visit pinchasers.net. Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm. They are fans of Pin Chasers, especially the newest location. It's not so new anymore. In Brandon, not far from the home office of BLG. I'm a paid non-attorney spokesperson, simply reminding you that if you are an adult male paying permanent alimony residing in the state of Florida, you are over 18 months late to use the law to your advantage to alleviate or eliminate financial obligation due to permanent alimony. It has no longer been law in the state of Florida since July 1st of 2023. That is just one example of what Brandon Legal Group can do for you when they tell me to remind you they're a full service law firm. For a free consult, visit BrandonLegalGroup.com or call 813-902-3576. Brandon Legal Group, your full service law firm. Emails right.todd@yahoo.com, right.todd@yahoo.com. Often here on my podcast, I have talked about Mike Vrabel. He has made news again because he is the first to fill an available head coaching opportunity looking to the 2025 season. It is with a team where he won multiple Super Bowls. He caught touchdowns from Tom Brady, and that's the New England Patriots, run by Mr. Bob Kraft. Vrabel goes to New England and takes over after New England goes one and done with Gerard Mayo, after Mayo coaches the Patriots to a win the final week that cost them the number one overall pick in the National Football League draft. And for those of you saying, well, they didn't need a quarterback anyway, they already have Drake May, you do realize how much that number one pick would have garnered from a team that wanted to draft number one, whether that's Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders or any other player, in terms of a haul of likely picks, maybe a player, in trade. Reminiscent of what loser Lovie Smith did on his way out the door with the Texans a handful of years ago. So Mayo is out, and let's explore that a little bit right there, that Bob Kraft had a very quiet deal that apparently was in place for some time leading up to the parting of the ways with legendary head coach Bill Belichick after the 2023 season. I didn't know about it. I didn't hear it talked about. You don't hear a lot of head coach and waiting deals anymore. But that one apparently was in place, that Mayo would be promoted to head coach when Bill Belichick was no longer the head coach of the Patriots. Bob Kraft honors the deal. It fails miserably. And perhaps Kraft had no idea that Mike Vrabel would be available to be his head coach, because Vrabel had just completed 6 years in Tennessee. Many thought that would continue. You know, I did not. Prior to the 2023 season, I said without a playoff appearance and or win, Vrabel would likely be gone. He was. So Kraft was probably like, well, what do? I have this deal in place with Gerard Mayo, but I'd love to hire Mike Vrabel. So maybe, just maybe, some of the reason why Mike Vrabel didn't take a head coaching job, a coordinator job with a multiple year contract for the 2024 season was because Kraft was executing another secret deal. Dare I say, let's see how Jared does, and if he doesn't do well, can I hire you to take over as soon as 2025? Because they moved on from Mayo very quickly. Not quick enough to preserve the number one pick and what it would have brought in trade. So I think it's plausible. I've run this by some other people whose opinion I respect. I think it's plausible that Vrabel may have had a gentleman's agreement with Mr. Kraft, who didn't expect that Vrabel would be available when Belichick left, that the timing was surprising. Kraft honors his deal with Mayo. Roughly what? Mid-season, you knew it wasn't happening with the Pats. And perhaps at that point, the sides start talking a little bit more and basically, let's do this once we get to the end of the season. So Vrabel is the head coach of the New England Patriots. He's obviously very familiar with many aspects of the organization. It allows Mr. Kraft to believe, right or wrong, that the Patriot way is still alive, even though many, like me, believe the Patriot way is solely connected to the combination of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Vrabel inherits a young quarterback drafted early who did some good things, got some experience, and will head into year two. And other than that, the Patriots don't have very much. They do have a lot of cap room. But isn't it a lot to ask whether you didn't believe the Patriot way was solely Belichick and Brady? How many big-time teams in the Super Bowl era can't recapture that success? How many big-time teams struggle to replace a head coach who won big, a quarterback who set a lot of records? And it just feels like, to me, the Belichick-Brady era, with its six Super Bowls, is going to be a very tough act to follow, whether you're the guy following the guy following the guy who follows the guy, or the guy way down the road, and for players as well. Again, they have money. They have the quarterback. And I'll acknowledge Vrabel does very well in terms of his personality, the perception of him. He creates a likability factor with many members of the media. Obviously, Bob Kraft feels very good about him as well. I don't think it's going to work. I've already talked about how it's a lot to ask of anyone going forward to try to recapture the success, because you're going to be compared to what Belichick and Brady did. And I know Vrabel was connected to that, but he was a defensive player. And I have my doubts this is going to work. And I have my doubts because of the same things that I have been saying for a while during Vrabel's tenure in Tennessee, predicting the end of his tenure in Tennessee, and today. So let me recap. First of all, Vrabel has, he's a coach with a defensive background. Do I need to say one more time? The last coach with a defensive background with limited to no involvement in the offense, in the offensive play calling, in the offensive game planning, and working head-to-head with the quarterback was Dan Quinn in Super Bowl 51, who lost after a 28-3 lead to the Patriots. The last coach with a defensive background with little to no involvement in the offense, with the quarterback, etc., to win a Super Bowl was Super Bowl 48, Pete Carroll with the Seattle Seahawks. Head coaches with defensive backgrounds who are not involved in the offense don't get teams to Super Bowls and win Super Bowls in the modern era. Super Bowls 52 through 58. We're going to find out in 2 weeks if one can get there. It's not a smart hire to hire a head coach with a defensive background who then defers the majority of the offensive side of the ball to somebody else. It's not a plan for success to win or get to a Super Bowl. Now, let's also factor in Mike Vrabel, before he became a head coach, was only a defensive coordinator for 1 year with the Houston Texans under Bill O'Brien. 1 year. He was linebacker coach for 3 years before that with the Texans. 2 years before that was the D-line coach at Ohio State. His 1 year before, and then just before that, the linebacker coach. So 1 year of defensive coordinator experience, and he had total control of the defense, because we know Bill O'Brien was an offensive guy. That was Mike Vrabel's defense, and he had traction from being the linebacker coach of the Texans for 3 years, then is promoted to defensive coordinator in 2017. And no team gave up more points in the 2017 season than the Houston Texans. So why exactly was that a stepping up point for Vrabel? Again, his personality, the winning of Super Bowls, the Patriot way. Okay. But there aren't merits of his 1 year of defensive coordinator running a defense where you give up more points than any team in the NFL that year on, I believe, a four-win Texans team. So that was ignored rather than a reason he was a head coaching candidate. So he takes over as head coach of Tennessee in 2018. And I've gone over this before, but I'll I'll do it again because it's relevant. First year, 9-7. Don't make the playoffs. Second year was big. The second year, Tennessee doesn't win the division, but they get a wild card. They go to the playoffs. They win twice, including against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. The Titans then lose in the AFC Championship game to the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. No shame in that. Titans win the division, but lose to Baltimore in an AFC wildcard game. So they go from winning two playoff games and making the conference championship to one and out the next year in the first round, despite their record in the regular season going to 11-5 and winning the division. The fourth year was important because it's like, where are you now? You didn't build on winning the AFC championship. You went one and out the next year, even though you won the division. You're at home and you lose to Baltimore in the playoffs. So in 2021, we go from 16-17 games. The Titans go from 11-5 to 12-5. So there was the regular season success. Win the division again, at home again, first round bye, and the Bengals come in and beat the Titans in the year that Joe Burrow and the Bengals go on to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. So now the next year is important. You've gone one and done in the playoffs for 2 years since your second year where you won two playoff games, get to the AFC title game, but why is there not improvement? You're winning in the regular season, but what's going on in the postseason? Then in 2022, Titans dip to 7-10, miss the playoffs. 2023, dip further, 6-11, miss the playoffs, Rabel's out. A lot of this was blamed on the dysfunction of the Titans front office and management decisions. And yeah, sounds like a spin to me. The head coach has to be held accountable for what's going on. He was given 6 years. He won a playoff game in one of those 6 years, each of which had Derrick Henry in his frickin' prime. Just think about that. You're watching Derrick Henry now with the Ravens. Titans move on from him, as they moved on from Mike Vrabel. We marvel at what Derrick Henry is doing, has done, may continue to do. Mike Vrabel had 6 years of Derrick Henry in his prime. And what did Mike Vrabel get out of it? No championships, no trips to the Super Bowl, one trip to a conference title game, two playoff wins both in the same year. Nothing the last 4 years of Derrick Henry in Tennessee. No playoff wins. Only two playoff appearances. Again, Vrabel with a defensive background, not involved with the offense. Wasting Derrick Henry in his prime. And how good was Derrick Henry in the Titans run in 2019? So Vrabel out. it wasn't his fault. Organization's dysfunctional. We'll just look past how Vrabel only won a playoff game in one of the 6 years he had Derrick Henry available on the offensive side of the ball. After Vrabel was fired, a Nashville sports radio station did an interview with a linebacker who played in the league for over 10 years and played for the Lions, and he played for the Titans, and he played for Mike Vrabel. And the things he said in that interview about the Titans moving on from Vrabel were very interesting, because it was a player that was holding Vrabel accountable, which few wanted to do. And the linebacker talked about how in 2019, as the Titans went from a 9-7 team the previous year that didn't make the playoffs to a 9-7 team that won in the first round of the playoffs, won in the divisional round of the playoffs, and got to the AFC title game, and he talked about how the more they won, the more Vrabel made it about him. And the linebacker went on to talk about how he and some other players in that room said, "Do we want to win for this guy?" That's funny, because after 2019, sure didn't look like they did. So what you see on the surface and what you hear about him being nice and connecting with people, and go look it up. Go find that interview. I watched it on YouTube. I even tried to contact the people at the Nashville sports radio station to hear a little bit more about it. It's there. I'm not breaking any news here. Sure, it's just one player, but listen to it. Nothing sounded made up to me. It all just adds to my skepticism that Mike Vrabel is a successful head coach. Why he's a head coach in the first place, I certainly have my doubts about the Patriot way continuing with Mike Vrabel, despite Drake May's presence. Not that, what can Vrabel do for Drake May? What? No. He's not going to work with him, teach him things. No. Vrabel has a defensive background. Vrabel is going to hire someone to do that. So there won't be a connection between the head coach and the quarterback at necessary levels. So there's my continued opinion of the head coaching career of Mike Vrabel. Why it failed in Tennessee. Why it will fail in New England. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Pin Chasers and Brandon Legal Group. We'll talk to you next time.